Let's go to the word.
Chapter 60, verse 19.
The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Amen. And one other verse, John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. God is light. 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 Sometimes God is the light, the Bible says. He is light, as 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says. And as we just read in Isaiah 60:19, he's the everlasting light. He is light, for he dwells in what 1 Timothy 6:16 describes as unapproachable light. He dwells in unapproachable light. What kind of light? Unapproachable, because it's so bright and so strong and so intimidating that it is unapproachable. Can you imagine that? For God is light. He dwells in such environment. And by light, he lights darkness. And by light, he gives life. And by light, he also makes judgment. Hosea 6:5, it talks about God making that judgment. And that judgment comes by light, like the sun. Just like the physical light, the sunlight that we are exposed to, that we live on, can give life, but simultaneously also can damage. That's why you have to wear SPF, right? The UV rays, because the rays are so strong, it could be damaging and even killing, causing cancer, skin cancer, right? That's from the sunlight. So it's two things at once. Similarly, God is that way. He is light. With that light, he gives life. With that light, he also makes judgment. So faith is to make God my light, to believe that he is light, and therefore receiving that light into my soul. Another way of describing that experience or that state, as Hebrews 6:4 says, is being enlightened, enlightened, enlightened. So being enlightened, people may associate with maybe Buddha sitting on a tree one day and ding, be enlightened like that. I mean, I guess Buddha wasn't so far off, but he was sort of like kind of figuring that out, but in the wrong way. But being enlightened means not on your own meditating and somehow achieving there, but it is to know God as light and receiving that light. So that's what being enlightened or receiving light is. And therefore, living this life as Christian means having the hope of entering the bright kingdom of heaven, the holy city. I mean, just singing song about heaven called Hymn of Heaven and hearing our brothers and sisters singing those beautiful like harmony, and feels like we're surrounded by angels, right? And just getting a taste, like a lick or even a whiff of the air of heaven gets us so excited and moves us in our heart. Imagine what that place is like. Why is this so desirable? Because there is no such thing as darkness in that place. Do you want to go there? Do you want to live there? And not only a day, but forever and ever? Amen. So in order for us to enter there where there is no darkness, here's what we must do. We must walk in the light while we're alive. Walk in the light while we're alive. And Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So walking in the light means we must live as the light of the world. The light of the world. Easy? Easy? Easy peasy? Uh-uh, it's not. The concept of light and darkness is not just for the Christians, although Christians have the history and the Bible has been talking about. I mean, just a search of light and darkness in the Bible, you get a lot of hits. There's so many places where the Bible talks about light and dark and darkness. But even in the world, when you talk about hope, people think about light and hope. Right? So in politics, they talk about leading people or revolution, you know, protesting and all of this to change the world, change society is to be led into the light because they feel that their life now, society now, their country now, their nation now, may be going through or in darkness. So they want to be led into the light. So this imagery of light and darkness is not just in the Bible and certainly not just in Star Wars. Yes, So the black and white, yeah, I wonder who the good guy is or who the bad guy is. So this concept of light and dark is very universal, and people can relate to that. As you can ask the question, what is the origin of life? As scientists have been asking that question and trying to answer, even to this day, they want to answer the question, what is the origin of life? Certainly people say water, right? But also light. Without light, even if you have water, you cannot live. So for us who live on this planet called Earth, and this planet is part of the solar system because of the planets are rotating around the sun, we depend on the sun for the light. As I said before, that light gives life to all the things on Earth, yet it also kills. So it kills the skin cells. It can kill the bad stuff like bacteria. UV light, right? So like you can sterilize things under UV light, right? So that light kills bacteria or germs. So it's sort of a dual side to this light. So when you think about light, right now we see lights everywhere and we see, you know, things. It's not just the lights that are up on the ceiling, but we are in light. That's what we are able to see each other, see colors and see things. Even though the light itself has no color or anything tangible. But the fact that we know our world, we know ourselves physically, is because our eyes learn and observe through the light. So it's through the light that is being reflected, bouncing off things, we are making sense of the world. The opposite concept would be being in pitch dark or pitch darkness. And being darkness is very scary, right? Just driving through a road or roads that are dark, even if you have your high beams on, it's quite unnerving. And if that lasts for a long time, it's very anxiety provoking, because humans by nature need light and want light, and by nature we do not like darkness. So this light, something that you don't really think about, is actually energy. What we're seeing is energy pockets called photons. But before we get there, where we get the light is the sun. And the sun, as you might know, they call it like a fireball. It's basically a fireball, a nuclear fireball, spewing energy in all directions. And this is made up of about 91% hydrogen gas. And then it goes under intense heat and gas or a gravitation force, and then it mixes, it fuses with helium and during the nuclear fusion, and then it's giving off that energy. Its temperature ranges somewhere between about 6,000 Celsius to 15 million Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's really, really hot. Yes, the core of the sun is about 15 million Celsius. Because if you think about it, I mean, if it's in front of my nose, I'm not alive anymore. But considering how far it is from us, it has to be that hot and for us to live today, right? And how far is it from us? It's about 93 million miles away. So the light that we see today is coming from the sun 8 minutes ago. 8 minutes ago. That takes long. Because it's 93 miles away, folks, but it travels at the speed of light, because it's light, right? The fastest thing. So it travels at about 186,000 miles per second. Yeah, Tesla is not going to get you that speed. So the light that we see departed the sun 8 minutes ago. And and scientists say that it's actually halfway through its life. Halfway through its life. So it has expiration date that no one knows. Only its maker knows that. That once it stops spewing that energy, we die. The planet dies. It doesn't exist anymore. It has a powerful magnetic field. When magnetic energy is released from released by the sun, or in the magnetic field in the sun, and during this magnetic storm, what's called solar flares. Pastor Kang, God bless her, very intelligent lady. She talked about solar flares. Solar flares occur, and we see that from the Earth as dark spots. You might have seen these pictures of the sun having dark spots. It's like, oh, I have dark spots on my face. It's like that the sun has dark spots, and these are the spots that have the temperature that are a little lower than the rest. But the solar flares are caused by magnetic variations, and what scientists are saying is that actually travels all the way here to the Earth, and the impact is something like having EMP, right? Electromagnetic pulse, right, that can cut down our cellular signals. Yeah, I mean, it's like you wonder, like, what happened? Did we lose power? Yeah, we lost power because of solar flares. We get the solar flares into the Earth as well. But there's also something called solar winds. These are ejections of plasma. You know, plasmas are these extremely hot charged particles. So the sun is basically made up of gas and plasma, and the solar winds can be carried and from the surface of the sun and travel through the solar system up to 450 kilometers per second. So the part that I want us to kind of pay attention at is the light. So the light that's coming to us, we don't see color, but we also know that by knowing the rainbow, right, there's a spectrum of lights, right? There are different colors in light. The fact that we see things is because light is being bounced off things and our eyes see them and pick up and understand these are objects. So there's energy that's being produced as light goes from point one, point A to point B. So light traveling from the sun to the earth, from these two points, energy is made and energy travels. So whether light is wave or particles, wave, think about sea waves, but it's actually much faster than that or more fluctuates more than that. And then think about bullets being fired from gun, that's particles. So the light is it either waves like the sea waves or like, are they particles like bullets being fired from gun? But now they actually, scientists agree on, or they say maybe it's both, because no one can really tell even this day. No physicists can say clearly, because for a long time they thought that it was like waves. But then Newton also challenged it, and then other scientists came about and saying maybe it's particle, but now they say it's wave and particle, because light is still very mysterious. So what we're seeing, what we are picking up now, however, from bouncing off, there's a vibrating pattern of electricity and magnetism. It's called energy, electromagnetic energy. I have to look at my notes because these are not my own words. And then what you see is there's energy that's produced. A flash of light is called photon, as I said before, photon. So photon is what we see. So the sunlight, when it comes, it's white light because we don't see the color. It is made up of different colors. We can only see that a tomato is red because only the red of the light spectrum, it gets bounced off, and then the rest is absorbed. So when all the lights are absorbed, you have the color black. When all the lights, the colors of the light, all the different colors of the light get bounced off, you have what? White, right? So the white is very beaming, right? So just a tip. If you were on the stage and you want to be like beaming as the main character, you want to wear white. But you want to see it as like the, I'm your father, Darth Vader, the bad dude? Dark. Okay, so light and black. So do we know anything about light at this point then in this world? I read somewhere, it says, it's not how it is. It's not about how things are or how it is in terms of objects. Rather, it's how we see. So the more you know physics, which, you know, is the body of study that really light is part of that studied by physicists, but it really becomes philosophical or even psychological. It's about perception, like how you see, like what we know as the world, as like light is being bounced off things, what I look like, what my neighbor looks like, what this seat looks like, what my pants look like, what the car looks like, what the trees look like. All these things are not really about the objects themselves. It's about what's being portrayed or perceived by my eyes. Yeah, because the eyes are very complicated things as well. When the light hits, the image gets converted. And back of the eyes, there are things called rods and cones. Not a name of a heavy metal band, but rods and cones are these things that perceive depths for one, and then cones are for colors. So there are millions of them in the back, and the way they give us the information, the brain has to make sense of what they are. So what we think is this like concrete, tangible, quote-unquote reality, then really isn't as concrete. It still is very abstract and mysterious. And this is because this is all the attempts made by humans called sciences, trying to understand the world according to their ways. But Bible tells us all along the origin of light, origin of all things. As the Bible kicks off with the statement, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, let's go there together and see what the Bible says. For thousands of years, what has it been saying? Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So that first day, how many days did it take for God to create all things in the world? 6 days. According to the Bible, 6 days. In those 6 days, God created all things. In the first day of his creation, we see the onset of light. Now, this light is not the sunlight, because the sun comes up a little bit later in verse 15. Let's go to verse 15. Well, actually, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Maybe scientists or physicists call this light of day one as energy, but it is not the sunlight yet. Sunlight comes on here in day four, right? So day four. So the sunlight and the moonlight, all of these planets reflecting the source of light being the sun in the solar system. And then the planets bouncing off or reflecting the light, as that is one of the ways light behaves, reflecting. There's refraction and all these other things, but reflection is one. And that is what the Bible says about light. And that with the coming of the light, everything was revealed, right? So then we see God creating in day five the sea creatures and the creatures in heaven, in the sky, the birds, and day six, the creatures on the ground and humans. So we see that light is prepared to give life on these living creatures on earth, not just under on the earth, on the land, but in the sky as well as under the sea. Because again, 1 John chapter 1, 5 says God is light and that he is the light of life. John 8, 12. Also, he gives rays of healing. Exodus 15, 26, God who heals. Malachi 4, 2 talks about the sun rising with healing in its rays. Also, as I mentioned to you before, he's the light of judgment. So the Bible shows that God is light and that he created the universe, which has no, it's actually dark, right? The universe is very dark. And Isaiah 14, 15 describes the universe as the depths of the pit, the depths of the pit. What imagery does that bring up? Light or dark? Dark. The depths of pit. So depth of the pit, this is the place of darkness. In Hebrew, that's Sheol. And in Greek, it's Ho Hades. In English, it's Hades. Hades. So many people do know the concept of Hades as a god of the underworld in the Greek mythology. So they think of the underground as in the pit of the earth. But Hades actually includes the entire universe. And in the universe, not only is it physically dark, but it's also spiritually dark in the eyes of God. But God planned it that way, as Isaiah 45 verse 7 says, I form the light and create darkness. He is the one who creates the light and he creates darkness. And it's for God to reveal light, he made darkness. He filled the universe with darkness so that light would be revealed. That he himself will reveal that light eventually. It is dark, but on earth, it's light. Like right now, the sun's up, even though it's cloudy, overcast day, it's light. Because the atmosphere itself, where there's moisture, we call that first heaven, aka the sky. And with the moisture around it, you have particles under reflecting the sunlight. So it's bright. It's light within the atmosphere of the earth. But as you've seen pictures or videos of the moon, men walking on moon. Yes, at some point it was men. On the moon, our closest neighboring planet or star, it's dark there. So from there, looking into the Earth, Earth is quite beautiful. It's colorful. It's very light. And it's because it has particles that are reflecting the light. So it is here in the atmosphere, within the atmosphere, on the land, God made all the creatures. And on day six, God made humans from the dust of the ground, just as he made all the animals. But among them, he chose one, and he breathed into him the breath of life, making that man, that human, a living being. What did God make? A living being. A living being is a spiritual being living in the flesh. I say a living being and you will define it. A living being is a spiritual being that has flesh. So his name was Adam, and he became the ancestor of all mankind. He did not live on the vast general area of the earth, however. He lived in a confined space called the Garden of Eden. It was like paradise on earth, where he was given the right to enjoy everything there and take care of the garden. However, he had to live by the word of God as command to obey, as the command of God to obey. And that word was to not take from one tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he was supposed to obey that word of God in order for the spirit of him, right, to live. The flesh can eat whatever, but the spirit has to live by the word of God. As God said, if you break this word and you eat, if you break my command and eat that fruit that's forbidden, you will surely die. He warned him. But that death was not about the flesh, but the spirit. This is because, as a living being, Proverbs 20:27 says, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. What of the Lord? The lamp. What is the lamp of the Lord? Human spirit. So the human spirit was made to be the lamp of the Lord, to house the lamp of the Lord, in other words. So that space was made by God. When God breathed into Adam, and Adam became, he was man already. He did not become man. He was already a man. But into him became, went spirit, and the spirit was the lamp of the Lord. That in the future, God had this plan to make man receive, allow man to receive the light of the Lord and turn him into the lamp of the Lord. So he was supposed to live by the word of God, but he was deceived. Adam was deceived by a serpent. We know that as the enemy of God, the devil. And he took the fruit. And when he took the fruit, he became afraid. So he hid in the bushes, making covering for himself, he and his wife Eve. But when God called him, Adam, Adam came out of the hiding and said, I was naked, I was afraid, so I hid. And he said, I found myself to be naked, so I became afraid and I hid. And then he confessed what he had done, though God already knew. But the fact that he came forward means when he heard the voice of the Lord, he couldn't hide anymore. So this is the difference between somebody who's falling asleep or checked out already or not. Because if you know that your soul, you are made to be a lamp of the Lord, you have to come alive. Amen? Yeah, it's like the plants, you know, when they're not watered, they look like leaves get curled up and they look sad. But you give them water in a couple of minutes or within like half hour, what do? They go happy. The leaves stretch out and they are beaming because they have been fed. So that should be happening in the hour of worship. Hallelujah. So after Adam's sin, eventually he was banished from the garden. So why do we talk about him every week? It's because he is the ancestor of all mankind. So what happened to him affected all men coming after him. So sin entered his spirit. His spirit had died to reveal that God drove him out of the garden. And all men receive sin in the spirit as we continue to live on flesh-wise. So Romans 5:12 says, through one man came sin and death to all. So we all inherited the spirit of Adam. So we are all living beings. We're all souls. But along with the spirit, we inherited sin and the price of sin, the state of being dead, cut off from God, being in darkness. So spiritually, all men became blind. Job describes this in 10:22, to the land of deepest night, of utter darkness and disorder, where even the light is like darkness. So definition of being blind is like you have a set of eyes, but these eyes cannot detect light, right? So it's dark. Again, the way we are able to see is because of light, because our eyes can detect light. And through light, we can see objects. We can see their shapes and forms, and we can see their colors. But if the eyes don't function and they cannot detect light, then you have blind eyes. So that became the reality for all men. However, God's work of revealing himself as light, therefore the revelation of light began when he called the people of Israel. And through them, he began to reveal himself more specifically, getting closer to revealing himself as light to these people. And he began that work when the people were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent Moses to bring them out. God through Moses performed many signs called the plagues, and that led eventually the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, to surrender. And it was through Moses God also performed this one plague. Before the very last one, in Exodus 10, it talks about darkness as one of the plagues. Remember that? Darkness. So in 10:21-23, it's a total darkness cover all Egypt for how many days? Anyone know? For 3 days. Trivia. How many days? 3 days. For 3 days in pitch darkness. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Do you believe that? What? So wherever the Israelites lived, there was light there. But the rest of the land of Egypt was pitch dark. And this was, again, God revealing. You know, people who are who suffer from depression, they go through, there are, you know, different therapies. But one of the ways they get therapy is light therapy. So there are special lamps for people to be under. And people who live in Nordic countries who have shorter daylight, sunlight, and especially in the winter season. And that's why they say the interior decoration is very highly developed and, you know, advanced for them, because they spend a lot of times indoors and it's very cold outside and they drink a lot. And then they suffer from depression because they don't have much of sunlight compared to other people. So they develop these indoor lights. So they have light therapy. So think about the people who were there suffering for 3 days in pitch darkness. Perhaps people just wanted to die. Maybe they died because they couldn't live anymore. But also in Exodus 14:19-20, they were crossing the Red Sea after the 10 plagues take place and the Pharaoh let them go. But then he changes his mind and he sends his army to pursue them, to chase after them, to bring them back. The angel of the Lord goes before the people of Israel, and there's a pillar of cloud moving from front and standing behind them, in the front and behind them, and then coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, it describes in 14:19-20. So throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So the Egyptians finally had to give up, surrender, because in darkness, they could no longer pursue their former slaves, a.k.a. Israel. So Israel, the people of Israel, children of Israel, become the people of God once they cross the Red Sea. They journey in the desert for 40 years because they're promised the land of Canaan after that journey. Now, it's in the desert God commanded them to build their tabernacle, the sanctuary. And in the tabernacle, the name of the Lord God was. And that name, what is the name in the Old Testament, the name of God? Jehovah, Yahweh or Jehovah, and Jehovah, 2 Samuel 22:29 says, "You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light." That Lord, L-O-R-D in cap letters, is Jehovah, the name, Yahweh. So what it's saying is, Jehovah, you are my lamp. Jehovah is my lamp. Jehovah is the lamp of Israel. So they knew that even if they were going through dark times, right, not just physically, but emotionally, socially, whatever it is, they looked to the tabernacle in the desert, which was pitched, it was placed in the midst of their camp. They will remember that Jehovah is the lamp that lights the way for Israel. The lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. It's Jehovah. Right? That's the confession of the people of Israel, of the Old Testament. And in the sanctuary were priests serving God all year round, and that's in the first room called the holy place. An inner room is the most holy place. That was only for once a year by the high priest. He entered. But the priests in the holy place, what did they do? Part of their work was cleaning up or making sure the bread, the stacks of bread were fresh and all that. But they had to keep the lamp burning. Do you know what those lamps are called? The menorah. You guys know menorah? Yes? Yes. Hanukkah. Okay, menorah. Okay. So that the lamp was to be lit and burning always from evening to morning. That was the work and job, the responsibility of the priest. Now, to the people of Israel, that God gave the law, and the law is described in Proverbs 6:23 as, "For the commandment is a lamp, And the law is a light. What is the commandment? A lamp. What is the law? A light. Once again, what's the commandment of the Lord? A lamp. What is the law of the Lord? A light. And it continues, and this is New King James Version. It says, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction, meaning being rebuked, reprimanded through the teaching, are the way of life. So the Jewish people grew to love the Lord and love his word, love his commandment. And not only that, they fear the consequence of breaking the law. Because when anyone was found to be breaking the law, if anyone was found to be evil doers, their lamp will be put out. So Proverbs 20:20 says, if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Sounds really scary. Put out, snuff out in pitch darkness. Also in Proverbs 24:20 says, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. So the lamp is lit as long as one abides the law and follows the law and follows the instruction of the law and loves the Lord and obeys the law of the Lord. But once one breaks the law and breaks the commandment, then the Lord says, I will snuff it out. I will put you in darkness. And the people fear darkness. By nature, we fear darkness, but they understood that being cut off from the Lord, their Lord Jehovah, would mean that they'd be snuffed out and Israel will have no hope, no future. So they were very afraid of that. As they knew, as Psalm warned, Psalm 107, 10 to 11 says, some sat in darkness and utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So they knew that people who rebelled against God would be put in darkness, in chains even. So they were fearful of God. And that's exactly what happened for 400 years until the appearing of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So the very last book of the Old Testament is called what? Anyone the name? Anyone know the name of the last book of the Old Testament? I know some of you are looking right now. Too late. Malachi. Malachi. Very good. Malachi is the very last prophet. And then after that, at the end of Malachi, you flip over, you have Matthew. So it's one page over, but it's actually not one page. Historically, we're talking about 400 years. So from the time of Malachi to the appearance of, not Matthew, but actually the last prophet. Who am I referring to? John the Baptist. Very good. So John the Baptist is mentioned in the New Testament, but he's considered the last prophet because he does the prophetic work of preparing the way of the Messiah. Messiah meaning the prophesied one to come. So Malachi, from Malachi to that last prophet appearing right before the Messiah, that time is called the Dark Age of Israel. So theologically, it's considered the dark age or the middle age of Israel because it was dark times where there was no prophet. Why was it called dark times? Because the prophets lit the way. They lit the path for the people of Israel. You have no prophet, you have no light, no lamp, it's dark. So for 400 years, people lived in anxiety and fear that they had been abandoned by God, that they could only expect chains and darkness and being snuffed out, having no hope, no future. When one man dressed in a very funky way and being full of energy and passion and say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, you brood of vipers. So he's John the Baptist speaking to the Pharisees and Jewish leaders in Matthew 3. Brood of vipers, calling them a bunch of snakes, snake babies. You guys are snake babies. That's never a compliment if anyone calls you that. So he's saying, you brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the coming of wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What he's saying is, repent. As in metanoia in Greek, turn from your ways. You think that on your own way, by keeping the law and saying the law is a lamp, the law is light, and that you are righteous and you can save yourself. You're wrong. We're all sinners, hopeless, without future. All we can expect is the wrath of God. What we need is the Messiah. Repent before him, and then he, by his righteousness, by his way, through his way, through his sacrifice, he will save us. Hallelujah. So even if his message was very harsh, people still went for him because they realized, oh my God, finally, after 400 years of silence, we have a prophet. But when he came, John came not as the light itself, but he came as a witness to the light that was coming. That's why he said, the one who's coming after me is greater than I. Greater than I. The one who's coming after him, who is that? The one who's coming after him came not in the name of Jehovah, but in the name of Yeshua in Hebrew, Aramaic, but Jesus in English, and standing before the temple of Jerusalem, which had the name of Jehovah, the lamp of Israel, what did he say? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days, which will really mean no hope and no future for Israel. But what Yeshua was referring to was the temple of his body. He's saying, I came to die, but after his death, after you put me to death, I'm going to be raised back to life. And after I'm risen back to life, you will see that through my death and my resurrection, I have come to end the time, end the era of the lamp of Israel. I'm going to snuff that out, put it out, and I'm going to begin a new era where a new light, that is a great light, a great light, a great light, as Matthew 4:16, which is quoting Isaiah 9:2, says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. A light has come. It has dawned. And Isaiah 60:19, these are prophecies. The sun will no more be your light by day, no more, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory, as we read earlier on. So that light has finally come, and he is saying, I am the light of the world. Do you think people believed him? No. They couldn't believe him because he's just human in the eyes of men. Though he referred to himself as the light of the world and saying, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's saying that he's the light of the world. He's the light of life. John 9:5 says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He also said in John 11:9-10, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble and they have no light. So he's saying his time in the world is like the noonday, the noontime. Noontime when the sun is the brightest. So in this dark world, the true light has come, yet people remaining in darkness could not recognize him. So let's go to John 1 and see what it says about Yeshua, about Jesus. Who is he? Where did he come from? And why is he the light? John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So when we read in the beginning, that in the beginning we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. But these two things are different points in time. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, is the beginning of the creation work, where the first day brought out light by God. But here in the beginning is when the Word was. Now, the word in Greek is ho logos, and the Word was God. He was with God and he was God. We're talking about one God. However, that one God is now distinguished as part of him is called the Word. And that Word refers to his decision in eternity. So in that beginning is eternity. And so in eternity, God decided. What did he decide? He decided to reveal himself as light. As light. And the way he's going to reveal himself as light would be by becoming the Word. As the Word. As the Word, he would reveal himself as light. Do you understand? Are you with me so far? Yes? So understanding that the Word was God, the Word was light. All right? The Word was light. Are you with me so far? Yes? Verse 3, read on. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So again, all things were made by the Creator, by God, right? But all things are made and are seen as all things and known as all things because of what? Because of light. Because of light. Yes? So what I said earlier on, you guys, you can't forget. You can't flush it down the toilet. We got to keep building on, all right? So that light that we see and how we observe in the world physically, it's because of light. And that light comes from this light, God who is light. The Word was God. The Word was light. Verse 4. In him was life. And that life was what? Continue reading. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. So that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into... Now you understand, right? So for John the Baptist, the prophet, was not the true light. But what was he? A witness to that light who was with God in the beginning. Who's the light who was with God in the beginning? That's the Word. The Word. So far, we're still talking about Word, right? The Word. And the Word was coming. And that Word would be the true light, revealed as the true light. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So he came into the world, but the world did not recognize him because the world, what happened? The people in the world, what happened to their eyes? They can see physical light, they can see colors and the rainbows, but spiritually they have become blinded. But why? How did that happen? Because of sin. So in the time of Yeshua 2,000 years ago, the people did not recognize him. And even to this day, they don't recognize him to be God. So they refuse to believe in him. This is because the world is now blind, in darkness, blindness, because of sin. But we have to understand verse 14, this word that came into the world, the true light, who is he? The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. The word became flesh. Say it with me. The word became? God became? Light became? Therefore, in him was life. And that's why he said, I'm the light of life. Don't you love the Bible, how perfect it is? Hallelujah. So in him was life, and that life, by the way, in Greek is hey, zoe. Logos, zoe, yes. So in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So he made the world, it is through him, the source of light, the true source of light, the true light, because the world is in darkness, did not recognize him. Because they were in darkness. Though he said many, many times that I am the light of the world. That when I'm in the world, there is light. You don't recognize me because you are blind. But he had revealed that, remember, John is a lamp that burned for a while. In John 5:35, Yeshua said, John was a lamp that burned and gave light. And you chose for a time to enjoy his light. But here I am now, even though I was baptized by him, here I am to reveal to you that I am the true light. And that light was just a lamp. So you have a blackout. You use flashlight or candles light. But when the sun comes up, when the lights come back on, what do you do with the candlelight or flashlight? You turn it off, you put it out. So John the Baptist, as a prophet, functioned until the true light would come. And once the true light, Yeshua, revealed himself as the kingdom of heaven, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. He himself talked about that. And he said, I'm the light of the world. What happened to John? He was beheaded, served on a platter to the king and the daughter of his wife. So he was put to death because that's the function, the purpose of the prophet. Yeshua had said in John 12:35-36, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. Like the song we sang today, right? So you will believe the light while you have the light. Again, he's talking about himself. Believe the light, and then you will become a child or children of light. You will no longer stay in darkness. So he showed through his signs of healing many works that he was the light of life, the light of the world. And he healed, therefore, many blinds. So many blinds came to him. Some of them he touched their eyes. Like in Mark 8, there was a man who came and he actually touched his eyes. And then he said, open your eyes, what do you see? And the man said, I see trees moving. And I'm thinking, how does he know what a tree is? Maybe he lost his sight when he was young. But anyhow, he said, I see it looks like trees walking. And then Yeshua said, okay, hold on, let's do it again. So he said, put on his hand. Now what do you see? I see humans. I see people. So there he touched the blind man's eyes and he healed them. But in John 9, call him lucky or unlucky, because Jesus spit on the ground and made mud. That spit, saliva, mud, wet, gooey stuff was put on his eyes, and it didn't end there. But Yeshua said to him, go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Travel out there for about 15, I don't know, kilometers or miles. It's quite a distance. He had to go and do that. But when he did wash his eyes from the water of the pool, what happened to him? He was seeing and he was no longer blind. Now, seeing that, the rumor spread and the Pharisee, the Jewish leaders, called him and said, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. I was born blind. All I know, because they kept asking the same thing. Tell us the truth. We know this man, referring to Yeshua. He's a sinner. He has a mother and father, and he's a sinner. And he could not do these things. And he's not the son of God that he claims himself to be. So tell us straight up. How did you receive your sight? And the man said, why do you keep on asking me? I told you many, many times already. This man healed me. He put a mud on my face and I go wash that man. And now I see it. Oh, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but this I know. I was blind, but now I see. I love that. I love that. But what I love even more after that, comically, is when they kept asking again, like, what do you want to be of his disciples too? He said, how many times do I have to tell you? You want to be his? And they were like, how dare you lecture us? You were born steeped in sin and you lecture. Because the Jewish understanding is that if you're born blind or in sickness, that's a result of sin, of your parents or your sin or whatever, someone's sin. But here is the man saying, I know that I was blind, but now I see. And that is according to the prophecy Habakkuk 3:4. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand. Rays flashed. Ooh, like a lifesaver, like coming out. Like so, rays flashed from his hand. That's what it says in the Bible there. Prophecy about that. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. And again, Malachi 4:2 says, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Speaking of the one prophesied to come. So when he comes, he will have this great power that's hidden in him. Because in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So people had some idea about Yeshua being someone special, but they couldn't believe him for what he said he was, or who he said he was. That is, that he is of God, that he is God. And this was especially unacceptable to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the priests. And Yeshua accused the Pharisees, especially in Matthew 23 on, we see how he was rebuking them and say, woe to you blind guides, blind leaders. And Luke 6:39 says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? This is death. This is suicide, because you are led by a blind being led by blind. You will only be led to destruction. He accused them of being blind because they, even though they saw the true light in the world, they could not recognize him. And it was by their conspiracy, Yeshua was then betrayed and led to death. But his death was according to the Father's plan from the beginning, God's plan. And it was God's schedule that he died then this way. So as he died on the cross, what did Yeshua say? It is finished. What did he say? It is finished, he declared. Now, what happened when he died on the cross? What happened? Light and darkness, what do you think happened? He died in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day. So he hung there for 6 hours in the middle of the day, noonday. And then in mid-afternoon, he dies, and it should be bright. This is desert area. Instead, what happens? In the whole land, darkness came. Luke 23:44 says, darkness came over the whole land. So let's understand what happened. When he died on the cross, crucifixion is death by hanging on the cross. Your entire body is just being bled out. The flesh is torn, and through the torn parts, blood is let out. So as his blood was released, what was happening? Remember, he is the Word who became flesh. The light that became flesh. But the world could not see that light because the light was hidden inside of him. So through his torn flesh, what did come out that they visibly saw? It was his blood. So through his torn flesh, that is the incarnate Word, what came out? His blood. And in that blood was the light, was the life, and therefore the material light, the created light, lost its light and surrendered before the true light, the source of light. Hallelujah. And it revealed the true reality of the world, that even if you have the sunlight, even if you have the LED lights or lamp or whatever it is, all this so-called natural, so-called artificial lights, the world may be filled with lights, but the reality is that it's pitch dark in sin. So through his true light that coming out of his body, he revealed the reality, the true reality of all mankind, that we are dead in sin, without hope, without future. But it is at this moment that the Father, God, sending his son to die as man. He came and as man died like a sinner, but it was fulfilling the word. Job 29 verse 3 says, when his lamp shone on my head and by his light I walked through darkness. Those words belong to Yeshua, because when he came to the world, he who was with the Father in the beginning, became flesh and came to the world. He came from the bosom of the Father. He was one with God like this. But when he became flesh, he became separated and came into the depths of the pit. Do you remember the depths of the pit? The darkest place. Where is that? The world? Here on earth. So he came to the darkest place, though I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of death. Valley of darkness. And that's referring to right here, this world, as Job 29:3 is saying, by his light, by the Father's light. Father, you alone are the true light that lights my way to lead me out of this place of death. Hallelujah. That's why Yeshua did not doubt at all the promise of the Father. When he laid down his life, he will receive it back. He never doubted. He never feared. He never even for a moment questioned the Father. He rather willingly and totally trusted the Father and laid on his life, knowing that he will finally be led out by the lamp. His lamp, his light is the Father. Hallelujah! And through the light coming from his body, as I said earlier on, he will judge by that light I had set, right? Judge by that light. Hosea 6:5 says, then my judgments go forth like the sun. With that light, he will heal. With that light, he will judge. That judgment is against sin, the ruler of darkness, the devil. It was done when he died on the cross. Hallelujah. And by that blood that came out of him, that light to heal, that light to give life, the blood, the redeeming blood of Yeshua, he poured that out for the souls of all men in Adam. First, by his death, paying the price of sin, destroying the ruler of darkness, and proclaiming the Father alone is light, and that through his precious blood, he made a way for whoever to believe, knowing that their souls coming to him and saying, I want the Lamb to be received into my soul, to come alive, to be healed, and to become children of light. Hallelujah! That's what he accomplished when he died on the cross. Do you believe that? Acts 26:19, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light is what he did when he died. The true light died. Now, when he died, here's my question to you. Was his face lit up when he died? His face on the cross, was it light? Was it bright? Or was it dark? What do you think? The moment of his death, was he light? Was light beaming from him when he died on the cross? Do you have a doubt? You're like, if I don't do anything, she's not going to call on me. If I stand still, she won't notice I'm here. Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus transfigured, right? And the disciples thought, wow, his clothes look like the cleanest ever we've ever seen. So bright and so clean. But when he died on the cross, he was not bright. He does not look bright or clean or light. Instead, he looked dark. Somewhere in the Bible it says the Father turned away from him. Turned away. Because he could not stand seeing the Son in such state. Why was he dark? Because the sin of the world was put on his body, and sin is dark. But it was paid for when he died. But when, as he prophesied after his death, 3 days after his death, he resurrected. Was he bright? Was he dark? Was he light? Was he dark? He was light. He was bright. He was glorious. Hallelujah. That's why even his disciples did not recognize him. They were walking with him for miles and miles and talking to him, going like, haven't you heard what happened to Yeshua in Jerusalem? And Yeshua was just walking, and they're like, yeah, whatever. They didn't even recognize him because he was different. Though he resurrected in the same body, now glorified, having nothing to do with sin. For he knows no sin. He has no sin of his own. The sin of the world was put on his body for that moment of his death to kill him, for him to pay the price of sin, to save sinners of the world, the souls of men, to bring them out of darkness. But when he resurrected, now he's glorified, and he was brought into heaven, the Father's house, after his resurrection and ascension, and he entered heaven. And what kind of place is heaven? No darkness. No darkness. at all. Not even a hint of darkness is heaven. So heaven is where there is no more darkness, only light. It's filled with light because it is filled with the glory of God and of the Lamb. This is light that comes from Him who gives life forever and ever. So Matthew 13:43, Yeshua had said, the righteous will shine like the sun. Revelation 22:5 describes, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. This is a place where there is only full. It is filled with joy. It is filled with happiness. It is filled with light. Nothing can hide in the light because it is bright. It is pure. It's glorious. How many of you want to go there? I want to go there. I want to live there forever and ever. Amen. So to take us there, the Holy Spirit, as promised, was sent from there in the name of Yeshua, the name of the light. And He comes to those who welcome Him in the name of Yeshua, who have received the blood. Say amen. You have received the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Yeshua. Say amen. If you believe, you have become a child of light, children of light. Amen. This is where you have to pay attention. Now it's about you. It's about us. Children of light. Children of light. Children of light. Remember, to become the lamp of the Lord, the human spirit was made to be the lamp of the Lord. I cannot light my way on my own. I have no light on my own. So that's why I say Buddha or any of those light who meditate, the light is with us. It's all a lie. You cannot light yourself on your own. As a sinner, there's no light. Absolutely impossible. It's ridiculous. The only way we can receive light and become the lamp of the Lord is by the grace of God that is given through the shed blood. In that blood, by receiving the blood, I have received the light into my soul. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit comes in such a soul to let us put on the armor of light. Put on what? Armor of light. 1 Thessalonians 6:5 says, you are children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So Romans 13:12 says, put on the armor of light, therefore. You're a child of God. You're children of God. Now you have to reveal who you are and light the way by putting on the armor of light. Armor is uniform to protect and to also give off your identity. What kind of flag you're wearing, what kind of uniform you're wearing tells you who you are, who you belong to. So when I'm putting on the armor of light, I am saying I'm a Christian, meaning I used to belong to darkness. I used to dwell in darkness. I used to do things in darkness. I used to enjoy doing things in darkness. In fact, people who live for the pleasures of the flesh, they do things in darkness, right? Imagine bars or like clubs being totally lit, like broad daylight. Do you think people will be doing what they're doing in light? They will lose business. Right? The darker it is, the better it is. Sets the mood. Google, set the mood. Set the mood. So in that mood, they do all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of shameful, ugly, lustful things in the dark. But a Christian is someone who calls himself, I'm a child of God. No. He doesn't call himself that. The world must recognize that we are children of God, children of light. Because the world is in dark. When the world sees us, the world should see the light in us. Even if I'm shouting, I'm a child of God, I'm Christian. And they go, but oh, I don't see any light in you, man. You're so dark. You still do dark stuff. Then you're not a child of light. I may call myself a Christian. I may check off the box in Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. Yep. When I'm done, I get in the car and go to the park, go to the beach, enjoy my life. You're not a child of God. You're not a child of light. Who are you kidding? The people in darkness, even though the true light came, the world is still in darkness. So when the darkness sees light, because it's opposite, just like it's city on a hill cannot be hidden. The city on a hill is well lit. Well lit. New York City at night, well lit, right? From the darkness, it's like, wow, beautiful. The night the skyline. Like out of nowhere, it just comes up. It's like, wow, impressive. So as children of light, we have to put on the armor of light. The first thing I have to do is that I cannot hide myself. Therefore, I cannot do anything in hiding. I must do nothing that is done in secret, in other words. I cannot keep on doing things that were done in darkness and call myself a child of light. So if you're a Christian, others should recognize you as a Christian. Not by the flag that you wear on your shirt or in your car or sticker that you put on. But how you live your life has now changed night and day. You used to enjoy doing things in the dark, in shame, in secret. But now you can no longer do that. That is someone who was once a child of darkness, who became child of light. So, yeah, in the past you used to have drinking buddies, drugging buddies, whatever you were doing, all the shameful stuff, stealing and hurting and committing adultery and doing all kinds of stuff. But now as a Christian, I am changed. But then there's still a lot of secret stuff that we can get away with in the palm of our hands. Smartphones. Before, the internet was be like the huge TV screen at home. Click, 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 click. But now it's in the palm of your hand, and you go to bed with it, and God knows where you go. With a click of a button, you can hear me going, "It is finished! Destroy it!" And then with the click of a button, go somewhere into dark web. The dark web, which is like the underworld in the internet. Or XXX, XXX, pornography, gaming, gambling, chatting. And then come to church and put a religious makeup on and hallelujah? Who are we kidding? The Holy Spirit is lighting up inside of us. It's not me. I don't know what you do in your private time. But the Holy Spirit knows. God who knows all lights the way. So I feel uncomfortable. I feel guilty. So even if I might have made a mistake, then I beat my chest and ask God to forgive me. As a child of God, child of light, I can no longer walk in darkness. I can no longer hide things and do things in hiding. What do you say? I must never do anything that is done in secret. What do you say? Say with me, I shall never do anything that's done in secret. Wherever I am, whenever I am, whenever I'm doing, I must do things that are honorable as a child of light. As they teach you in school, don't go to websites where you don't want your grandma to see. You hear me? Yeah. It's like, oh, somebody's coming up. I got to change. What? Yeah, no. What? Mm-hmm. Your boss is coming. Or like your roommate who's your regional group leader. I don't know. And then you click. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'll be right there. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You may get away from your roommate. You get away from the deacon or group leader or even your roommate friend. But you cannot hide before the Spirit. God who knows all. The light. And secondly, it is to reveal my identity as a Christian and giving light. Let's look at Matthew 5 together quickly. 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a city cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So I have to reveal my identity as a Christian. And if I put it out there first, then you know they're going to judge you as a Christian. Right? If you shake your hand and say, hi, my name is... Hey, if your name is Christian and you're Christian, double, that's great. Yeah. I'm Christian and I'm Christian. I'm Christian, I'm Christian. And then they're going to look at you like, oh, you're Christian? Okay, let's see what you do. You say you're Christian and you're doing that? And even though, hey, happy hour, let's go. You're Christian? We're all Christians. You know, we're all Christians. Happy hour together, all together. But you say, I can't go. No thanks, I'm not going. Oh, right, he's a Christian. Hey, we have a party, some going away party, a dinner on Friday night. Sorry, I got to go to church. Right, Christian. Boss is coming in town, we're going to go golfing or camping. Sunday, 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I'll be there. Wait, aren't you a Christian? Right. That's not right. I have to be responsible for whatever I do, whether it's keeping the Lord's Day and serving and coming into gatherings and not doing things that are considered dark. Even the world knows. So when I'm shaking my hand and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's like I'm the people that I meet now are very limited. So like even just traveling and the border patrol and they're like, so where are you coming from? What are you doing? And I say, I'm a Christian. And I just came from a mission trip. I'm here to preach. And they're like, next. So, but I have to pray that I'm Christian. It's like, okay, bye. See you later. But that's my purpose. That's why I'm here. So even if, I mean, I don't have to make any business deals, but if you make business deals and you say, my name is so-and-so and I'm Christian with a smile. And they're like, I'm Christian. Don't do that. Then they run away. I'm Christian. So it's either going to make the deal or break the deal. They're like, oh my God, no thanks. Or, oh, Christian? Okay, I have good impression of Christians. Let's see. Maybe you're honest. I had a good experience with Christians in the past. Maybe you are honest and I want to make deals with you. So it's make or break. But we're not doing that for a business deal. We're doing that as revealing my identity because I'm a child of light. We are children of light. And children cannot be hidden. The children of light cannot be hidden because hiding is death. So even amongst your friends, they're doing XYZ, but I'm Christian. So they know. Put it out there. It's like, oh, yeah, I just didn't invite you to the party because I knew you were going to church. You're always at church. Right. Right. Not wishy-washy. Not wishy-washy. But clear as night and day. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, do it, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever I do, I must shine the light for me to live and for my friends to live. Those next to me can live as a result of me lighting up. So I have to light up the way, and that is by identifying myself, revealing myself as a child of light. No man? Amen. And it's to guide those who are in darkness into the light. That's the work that we are doing. Evangelizing, preaching, non-believing world is to bring one more soul out of darkness into the light. But once they're brought into the light, as in bring them to Yeshua, to the presence of Yeshua, to the body of Christ, Yeshua, the church. My work doesn't end there. As a group leader and as a preacher, as a pastor, what we need to then is what Lord said in Matthew 28:20, teach them to obey. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. As I said before in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Again, reproofs is reprimand, rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. So the word includes rebuking, reprimanding, disciplining. So the word comes as unpleasant at many, many times. And so this is like preach here in the pulpit, but at times I have to call souls and meet one-on-one and tell them, what you are doing is wrong. What you decided to is wrong. What you almost did is wrong. And you should not do that. I know this is like really unpopular, so people just hesitate. It's very difficult for me as well. For Pastor Kang as well, you think it comes easy for her? She also struggles. We pray for wisdom and timing to approach souls to correct them. So if you feel like, I think I'm getting away, it's coming. You know it's coming. I used to hate that. My mom used to be like, you know it's coming. It's coming. I'd be like, stop saying that. Stop threatening. But it is coming. If it's quiet right now, it's calm before the storm. Calm before the storm. It's like, I know I'm not doing well. Because you know why? I can see your eyes avoid. Your eyes are the lamp. They're the lamp. They're the light. And if they're doing something that's not right, they drop. And there's always like, they see pastor, they go, hi, pastor. And I try to normalize, like, oh, it's okay, hi. And I'm going like, what is she doing? What is he doing? So don't think that I don't know. You know I know a lot more than you think I do, right? Or I don't? Maybe I do. I don't know. But I pray for the Lord's wisdom because this is the burden that I have as a leader for souls. As a little shepherd that leads the flock, I need to correct the wrong. I need to lead children who are still tempted to go both ways, dark and light, pull them out, yank them out of darkness and shove them into the light. Hallelujah. Because that day is coming when the true light will be revealed. Their Lord is coming back. Do you believe that? Tens of thousands, 32,500 prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled except for this one, that is the return of Christ. And when he comes back, he is coming with an army of heaven, not as to the darkness, but he's coming to look for the children of light. Only those who have put on the armor of light have lived their lives no longer doing things in shame. Because Revelation 21 says in 23:27, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful enter it. Only those who are doing things that make them proud, make the Lord proud in the light, can enter there. In your shameful acts in darkness, you will never see the light. So consider now as your blessed opportunity before it's too late to ask for forgiveness, to beat your chest and ask him to enlighten you once again. Let the lamp be lit so that it's burning bright and bright. In the Old Testament, the priest also, to make sure the lamp is burning bright, he trimmed the wick, you know, the wick of candle. When it gets long, the light goes smaller. So you need to trim it. The word is trimming. The word is trimming. Guiding the souls is trimming. So it hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's poking. And I'm like, do I need to keep on coming here? If I go to my neighbor's church, they tell me sweet stuff. Gumballs. Someone said gumballs, gummy, or whatever, colorful. It's like all flavor, all party there. You could go there, but you won't hear the light. You won't see the light. In darkness, you will remain. Such people will remain, and in darkness, they will be destroyed in that day. If you believe in the word, and you believe that the Lord is the true light, while we have the chance, we need to fasten, gird our waist, as the people of Israel did on the night of the Passover, girding their waist, tightening their waist, ready to run on the night of the Passover, the final plague, so that they will finally leave Egypt, their slavery. We have to gird our waist and keep our lamps burning, as those 10 virgins, 5 of them kept burning with their oil prepared. They went and met the groom, and for the 5 foolish, without oil, they were shut out. So we want to keep our lamps burning by staying put, as in putting the armor of light, that is putting the armor of the name Yeshua, and praying and praying and praying. Amen. Without prayer, I cannot resist, because the world is still dark and the darkness wants to seep in. You saw the pictures of the flooding, the water just coming from the shoreline, and just you saw the time lapse scenes. Many of you might have seen. I saw that. It's frightening. Like the water just coming and coming, coming, gushing and flooding all up like 6 feet, 8 feet high, tall. That's the darkness that we are exposed to in the world. We're not invincible because we still have these flesh bodies. So therefore, I need to pray in the power of the name Yeshua and overcome. Amen. I need to heed the word of Yeshua. Whatever command he has given me, I need to obey. Amen. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the lamp in my soul. So in that day, none of us will be left behind and be rotting and perishing and suffering in darkness. Rather, all of us can enter that holy city where it's only filled with light. Amen. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Right now, with the eyes closed, it's dark. There will be a day when we will close these eyes for good. Or the true light will come while I'm alive. And the question is, will I be brought into that unapproachable, marvelous light in that day? Or will I be thrown and left behind, abandoned in darkness forever? It's determined by what I do now. As a child of light, am I walking in the light? If the Lord, the true light, comes, will he see me in light, doing the right things? Or would I be found doing shameful, deceitful, detestable things in the dark to perish with the world? Oh Lord, I am hopeless. This body is just so hopeless. But I have the light in me. The light is your blood. This is the true light in me. And let me be filled with the Holy Spirit, that this light grows and grows. Though it's a small light right now.